Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the gorgeous Gale in Rice Village, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, a big thank you to the Daspit Law Firm for this second hour sponsorship. Again, we're at 5555 Morningside. We're going to be here again tomorrow. We will do live radio again tomorrow at the Gorgeous Gale after the Croatia-Denmark match in the afternoon. In the morning, get here for Spain and Russia. The good times roll on here with the World Cup. And if we get another day like today's watch between France and Argentina and Uruguay-Portugal, then we're riding high here in the round of 16 because today was an incredible day with those two matches. Tomorrow, we hope it rolls on with Spain and Russia. And then looking ahead, the big one with Mexico and Brazil the following day and Belgium and Japan. So tomorrow we'll begin to start talking about Mexico and Brazil and breaking things down there. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, they are our second hour presenting sponsor. Personal injury attorneys are going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. DaspitLaw.com, and they are proud sponsors of this show. We appreciate John and his firm. They're going to work for you 24/7. Nobody wants to get in an accident. You might get in a car accident, motorcycle. You might work down at a plant or a refinery. You might drive an 18-wheeler. You need representation, and you need somebody to fight for your right for compensation. DaspitLaw.com. Also, Liberty Kitchen last night was live in studio. And, man, did we have a good time last night with Lance Fegan and Carl Eves? Liberty Kitchen, located River Oaks, Memorial City, the Heights. I may head over to the Heights location tonight, Liberty Kitchen. Carl Eves and Lance, Gulf Coast influence food, raw bar oysters, hot smoked Seattle salmon. They've got the wonderful mac and cheese. And then, of course, people love the signature bacon jam. Great for brunch, business meetings, just plain hanging out. Watch the World Cup with the Dynamo. Great mixed cocktails, wine and beer. Liberty Kitchen. Either Heights, River Oaks, or Memorial City. And again, we're here at 5555 Morningside. This is the Gorgeous Gale. Let's go to the phone lines now. Former member of the Houston Hotshots, if you remember the indoor team in the 90s that played at the Summit. They played in the Continental Indoor Soccer League. Olivier Finidori, he's also the director of coaching at Cyfair Dynamo Soccer Club. Olivier, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Glenn. Allez les Bleus.
Yes, I know. I know you're very, very happy. So for full disclosure here, Olivier, not only a big part of our Houston soccer community when it comes to player development for youth, for Dynamo Soccer Club, but also was a former professional player with the indoor team, the Houston Hotshots. He is from France, so it is a very happy day for you today. How about some overall impressions on the France-Argentina match, Olivier?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm just now starting to recover. I feel like I played the game with those guys. So it was exhausting. It was really, really exciting. And I hope it doesn't have to be that exciting the next time when we play Uruguay.
So, look, we obviously see the immense talent. There's no team, there's no national team in this World Cup that has more top money makers in the top 100 players in the world than France.
Yes.
Mbappe, Griezmann, Pogba, we can go on and on with the talent. Giroud, tell me, do you think this team, after today against Argentina, Are they just maybe 4 years too early for potentially going on and winning a World Cup? And I want to be very careful not to foreshadow too much here, because this has been such an interesting tournament. We've just seen two of the favorites knocked out. But do you think they've got that maturity and leadership now, despite all the talent?
Well, that's a tough one. Obviously, I want to say yes, because I just love this group. I think, like you said, they're so talented. But, you know, one of the qualities is that they're so young. And obviously, with youth comes a bit of a lack of experience. So to win a tournament like the World Cup, experience is something that you need. That's where, you know, we have to say we're really relying on the coach, Didier Deschamps, to hopefully put the pieces together. But it's going to be a tough challenge.
Olivier, why are the French sometimes a little suspect of Didier Deschamps? I mean, obviously, he lifted a World Cup with France in 98.
Well, I mean, the thing is that, first off, the French supporters are just really, really tough, and the media are even worse. He's been heavily criticized that when we win, you know, it's never that big a compliment, or they get happy for 5 minutes, and then all he takes is one poor performance or a bad game even when we win, and they just want to grill him. And the fact that, obviously, because he has so many talented players at his disposal and he's got to make choices, and he's the one behind the scenes that gets to see what works, what doesn't when you assemble the pieces together. And to personally, I have a lot of time for Didier Deschamps. I think he's done a great job to put all these young talent together, and I'm hoping that he's got them peaking right at the right time here in the World Cup.
Now, when they play Uruguay in the quarterfinals, because we know that's the matchup next, there's a lot of familiarity between these teams, Griezmann and Atletico Madrid, with the two center backs, including Godin of Uruguay. If France plays against a deeper defending team, very much different Uruguay than an Argentina, how do you see them playing against deeper defending teams? Obviously, they got individuals that can break down compact defenses, but how do you see it?
Well, and that's the thing, you know, whenever we play some of these top teams like Argentina or even Brazil or Spain that like to go at you, it makes the games much more open, much more enjoyable to watch. And I think that's actually when France is at his best. When you're playing a team that really just wants to stay regrouped defensively and play a low line, it makes it difficult. Because sometimes, again, with youth comes a bit of impatience, and we can keep ourselves exposed. And the one thing about Uruguay, that is one thing you can afford to do, because they're just fantastic on the counter when you have weapons like Luis Suarez and Edison Cavani. You know, we're going to have to be very, very disciplined, and we're going to have to be patient.
Olivier Finidori played for the Houston Hotshots, is the technical director of Dynamo Soccer Club out in the Cy-Fair area. By the way, every year they are on board with Kick Cancer and running a clinic headed up by Olivier with all their coaching staff that then benefits the Texas Children's Hospital. So every time I talk to you or see you, Olivier, I have to say thank you to you and your club for that. We do appreciate that, and there's going to be a charitable aspect that we're going to eventually announce here with the gorgeous Gail concerning the World Cup soon. But we thank you very much for that, and everybody who's out there, including the birthday boy, Jim Walker.
Well, it's always an honor to be part of that event, the Kick Cancer Camp. And now that we've moved that event to spring break, we're hoping that we're going to get even much bigger numbers, and with your help and a lot of the help in the community, hopefully we can grow it even more than it's ever been, basically.
So a little bit on Mbappe today. I mean, you know, this is a 19-year-old kid who just opened himself up with his World Cup legacy here today. This run in the first half was just spectacular. I mean, it basically went 65, 70 yards. He reminded me of a young Ronaldo back in the day, the Brazilian Ronaldo. Your thoughts on Mbappe and just the excitement that he is going to be a big part of France for so many years to come?
Yeah, absolutely. He is such an exciting player to watch. And obviously, I've been following him since his years with Monaco. And now this year with PSG, he's having such a great year. And it is really nice to see him being able to bring at the next level. And the thing is, he really is a good kid. He has a good head on his shoulder. And his work ethics are fantastic. And obviously, his qualities are just just unbelievable. And he's just 19 years old. We haven't seen the best of him yet. But what you said about him and Ronaldo, that I fully agree with you. The speed that they're able to play and maintain control, that's the most amazing thing. We have a lot of players out there that can be extremely fast. But to have the type of control that Mbappe or Ronaldo had, that's just really, really amazing to watch.
Well, and the power as well, when he's under control, he maintains control. You mentioned that, the power, the pace, and then the ability to take tackles and take the physical as he's, you know, riding tackles. I mean, that's also an art. You have to have a tremendous amount of strength, dexterity. I mean, that was breathtaking, that run he made all the way into the penalty area. You know, I'm at home, and I'm just, my eyes are like as big as saucers when I see this happen. He's one of those players that is going to pull you out of your seat in the future. And again, 19 years of age to me is just stunning.
Yeah, no, it really is. It just has this extra gear. You know, when you think he's going full speed and he's already blowing by people, he still has the ability to go into an extra gear that just makes him blow by everybody. I mean, today in that run, the French media said that he was timed at 37 kilometers an hour. I'm not too sure what it is in miles, but it's fast. I mean, it is really, really fast. And the thing is, what I like about him is that he's very honest. He plays an honest game. He's willing to work for his team. You know, again, Deschamps was heavily criticized to have him move as a white player and being forced to defend rather than playing as a center forward. But again, I want to say that Deschamps has got it right. You know, Mbappe's strength is not necessarily with his back to goal. It's with open space in front of him. And I think that's how we're going to get the best out of him.
By the way, today both teams had 9 shots, 4 on goal each for both France and Argentina. Would you be a little bit concerned in the way they managed that game out after the 2 Mbappe goals? Because it got a little nervy at the end there. I mean, the game ends on a cross that goes through everybody in the penalty area. You know, there has to be a little concern there because you did concede 3 goals and at times looked slightly shaky defensively.
No, I agree. I mean, the thing is, obviously, you know, I think any team in the world will be nervous down the stretch when you have people like Messi and Di Maria on the field. And then I'm very thankful for the Argentinian coach to only put Agüero on the field for 25 minutes. That's all it took for him to score one.
You mean Messi, the coach, Olivier, right? Because we're all told that Messi's
correct.
The coach.
That is true. That's what I've heard as well. I have no idea why Agüero is not playing or Higuain's not playing, but, you know, I'm not going to complain today. I'm just glad it happened. But I agree. There's still some defensive scares here on the back line for the French. And, you know, we have a couple of young guys, you know, like Pavard, that, in my opinion, is probably at fault on the first goal as well, not pushing up his line on the rebound. And, you know, he obviously redeemed himself by scoring one of the best goals. But so all these players, like even Lucas Hernandez from Atletico Madrid, that plays as left back, he's a fantastic player going forward, but he can be a liability sometimes defensively. So, you know, we're definitely going to get tested against Uruguay.
Hey, let me ask you a question. What's the story? How come we don't have Thierry Henry on the staff with Didier Deschamps? Why did we let Belgium grab him and work with Romelu Lukaku and all the strikers of the Belgians? I mean, what's going on here? We got this wrong.
I could not agree more. And, you know, I'm a big fan of the Belgian team and obviously a huge fan of Henry. And I would love to have him help Mbappe and Giroud and Griezmann instead. And maybe the day comes, I mean, you know, 2 years from now, we could have Zizou and Ollie working with the French national team. I'd like to see that one day.
Can you imagine if Belgium gets past Japan, and then...
And they will.
You know, they could potentially face France down the line, the way it's bracketed. And, you know, you would have on the Belgian bench Thierry Henry against France, who he led to glory in 1998. And so much, so many great years.
That would be bizarre. And honestly, I can see Belgium going that far. I think they're a really exciting team. The only thing about Belgium that even though I think they need to remain as one of the favorites, I always have a bit of a scare simply because they have not been that successful at the international level. They have a bunch of incredible players. But just like in the Euro, losing to Wales in the quarters and so, I mean, I hope for them to go as far as, meeting France, and hopefully we can knock them out. But it's going to be a tough one. I just hope
Olivier,
we'll
thank you.
On the bench against us.
Thank you so much for coming on today. We're up on a heartbreak. Congratulations. I know it's a big day for you with France. France will next take on Uruguay. We'll be on the edge of our seats for that one. And thank you very much for coming on, and let's see what happens. Maybe we'll get you on prior to the France-Uruguay match to break that one down. Great insight from you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Glenn.
All right, that's Olivier Finidori. By the way, I'm looking at some of the post-match stats here, Naib. Argentina had 200 more passes over the course of this entire game than France did. And again, as you heard Olivier say, the counterattack game and a more open game is where they thrive. That could be something to really keep an eye on against Uruguay, who's going to sit deep and be compact again.
Yeah. I mean, you see also with Sweden, for example. Sweden has a similar style to Uruguay, and you see how it's been working with Sweden. I mean, they took the game to Germany. They could have gone 9 out of 9, Sweden, with the style. The same as Uruguay. Uruguay went 9 out of 9 points without conceding a goal. So I think it's that style. And here, I think the possession with Argentina, it tells a little bit of Sampaoli's ideals, no? Sampaoli likes his teams to have the possession of the ball. The thing, the main problem throughout the World Cup for Argentina is that they really didn't know what to do with the ball. Even if they had a lot of possession of the ball.
And in transition, it was a struggle. It was a scary struggle because in transition, their starting points were good. They looked very susceptible to the counterattack. They looked very much like Germany as well. All right, we're going to take a break. Naib, I want to thank you very much for coming on. As always, we want to get you on. Over here at the Gorgeous Gale, well, you and I will talk, but we'll get you on for some more analysis. We appreciate that. That's Naib Moran. You've heard him on this show before, now doing a podcast called Risortera Wave. It's on the YouTube channel, and he is also formerly a writer with ESPN FC. Naib, thank you very much.
Thank you, Glenn.
All right, we're going to take a break here. We got more to come here. Much more to talk about. We're going to get into the Argentinian side of this a little bit here with a special guest coming up, and then we're going to roll on here. We got some tickets to give away. We got a number of differing things that we got to finish up here. It's 5555 Morningside Drive. It is Gorgeous Gale. It's been an amazing World Cup. 16 stoppage time goals come in the group phase, and today we see two beauties today with France 4-3 over Argentina, and then of course Portugal. Cristiano Ronaldo knocked out by Uruguay. That one, your host of Soccer Matters called that one, along with a lot of other people around the world. It wasn't as A lot of people felt Uruguay was going to get it done. We'll take a Bud Light break. More to come here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We're live. Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside in West University.
RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow. Live from the Gorgeous Gale in Rice Village, this is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, a big thank you to the Daspit Law Firm and John Daspit for their support of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. So we have two presenting sponsors. First hour, it's the Texas Children's Hospital. The second hour, it's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. And again, we remind you, we're out here at 5555 Morningside Drive. This is the Gorgeous Gale, wonderful pub here in the West University area, the Rice Village area. Tomorrow, we've got Spain and Russia here. That's the early morning game. And then Croatia, Denmark. And then we're going to do another 2 hours of radio tomorrow. So we're looking forward to seeing more of the soccer fans out here. We'll continue to give out tickets and other prizes post-match and continue to break things down with our good guests. And, well, joining me right now, Federico De Michelis from Buenos Aires, Argentina. He has a podcast called Toto Dynamo, but the reason we have him up here is he's proudly wearing the Argentine jersey. It was a tough day, I would say, for you. Federico, how about some initial impressions just on the 4-3 loss and maybe the entire World Cup for this Argentina, who has had real problems?
Thank you for having me.
No problem.
It's so many things to say, right? So many things to say. It's been tough. It's been a tough qualifier to begin with Argentina barely making the World Cup. And, well, this was inevitable, I think. I think it was inevitable. I think Sampaoli had no idea. basically, of what was happening, not only in the soccer, in the football part, but also in the group itself. I mean, there were some players, for example, Lo Celso was a big mystery for me, and how he never played after being a perfect partner for Messi throughout the qualifiers. He never played 1 minute in this World Cup, not even one. Many things to say. I mean, after this morning's match, without a number nine.
Was that bizarre to you?
It was completely bizarre. Especially having...
Take me into what the idea is for Sampaoli, not playing an Higuain, not playing a Sergio Aguero, who we all know.
It's hard to tell.
I mean,
one would imagine that if you have, you know, those big diagonals, you know, say Pavon, which he had, you know, he had a fantastic season in Argentina.
Pavon came off the bench and was very, very good, too.
He was. I mean, he brought freshness.
Energy, freshness,
yeah,
penetration.
Absolutely. And Di Maria, for me, at least in this match, he had the match that I was waiting for from Di Maria for a long time. And I'm not saying this World Cup.
We have been waiting a long time
for
that
years,
match.
I'm saying years. Years between the injuries and between his sometimes lack of hunger. I mean, I'm sure everybody wants to win. You know, these are very talented players, all of them. But when you don't have a referent in the box, you know, and you don't have players making those big diagonals in there, Messi playing loose, it's very hard. It's very hard to find those opportunities that will get you ahead in a match of this importance.
It was very strange. So if I said this, that Argentina, the hype around them in this World Cup was based on their history and tradition, mm-hmm. Lionel Messi. Mm-hmm. And then I went in to say that my truth is, it's been poor goalkeeping, they've been unsteady, they've been tentative, they have a manager who's not in charge.
Yes.
They have a midfield that's led by Mascherano, who plays, ironically, in China now.
Yes.
Yes. Would you say the expectations were blown just way too sky high?
Argentine press is saying, you know, you can imagine, all of the imaginable things, and even though the last match against Nigeria gave us lots of hope, the expectations were realistic, I would say. I don't think no one really had a truly optimistic view about this team, and mm-hmm. no one that knows a little bit about soccer could possibly imagine that a team with the speed and the freshness and the hunger that this French team has would lose against Argentina. It was a great match, nevertheless. I mean, I think it was very entertaining for everybody. Heartbreaking to see a generation of players that very possibly will not be playing another international match.
Take me deeper into this now. Let's talk about Lionel Messi, because you know, what is the thought of the Argentine? We always hear this, you know, because he went so young to Spain, he's not really Argentine. Mm-hmm. And I used to always say, hey, we'll make him American if you'd like.
We'll or take Spanish.
Him. Yeah, exactly. But you know, what is this strange relationship that Argentines have with him? And why is Diego Maradona always so favored over him? Who has been an absolute wreck after his playing career and really, to me, doesn't symbolize post-playing career a lot.
It's interesting.
Because they're two very differing men.
What? They are very different.
Only an Argentine can probably answer this.
Well, Maradona has the plus of being a man of the people, I think. Mm-hmm. And the epicness of his win, both against, I mean, not only the World Cup, but the match against England. I mean, that famous match with his two goals that we all remember so well. And not only that, but his Scudetto and the Italian championships with
Napoli.
Napoli, because he didn't go to play with Juve, he didn't go to Milan, he didn't go to Inter, he went to Napoli. And the way he always fed the hope of the people. Messi, on the other hand, is an extraordinary player.
Wait, you're telling me an entire country is not hopeful with Lionel Messi coming into the 2018 World Cup?
They were. Messi had, not Messi.
With a check mark next to it.
That's the thing. So there's the pressure was so high, and you could see it. There's that famous image of him, you know, covering his face during the anthem against Croatia. The pressure was too high. The pressure was too high. Now, why does he not feel that pressure playing in Barcelona, you know, every other weekend? Because he has it, too. Argentines should be more thankful, I think, because Messi always defended the colors very, very, very well. He always had a very close relationship to Argentina, despite leaving when he was 14 years old. Mm-hmm. You listen to him talk, you know, and sometimes people catch an accent or this or that. Or Messi, he could be leaving in Argentina right now. I mean, he is Argentine, 100%. It's hard to understand why so many Argentines don't appreciate him more. Lately, in the last, I would say, year or two, he has been having a better relationship after the qualifier, after that game against Ecuador, in which he scored miraculously, a game that was lost, a qualifier round that was absolutely lost. That was just him. It was him against a whole team and against the press. I mean, we have to remember that also Argentina, for a long time, decided to not speak to the press at all due to the so many criticisms and so many, you know, things that didn't have to do exactly with the game itself. I mean, with their personal lives and with their, you know, not feeling the country, not feeling the jersey. So it's been tough. But I think...
Do you think you'll see more acceptance of Messi now, eventually down the road, once this wound gets closed a little bit, getting knocked out of this World Cup? What happens with human beings sometimes is your sense of appreciation may not be there
when he's not
in
there,
the moment, but yeah. But then in, you know, a year or two, or when he's phased out of the national team, whenever that is, and I'm not saying that's necessarily going to happen, but then you go, wow, now we realize what we miss.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. I think that will happen. I haven't heard if he spoke about continuing in the national team. Mascherano did. He said that he will be out. So did Biglia.
Was it too much Javier Mascherano on this thing? Was there too much dependency on a guy that's really out the pasture playing in China now?
Yes. Yes.
That was my feeling.
Yes. Yes, it was. I mean, that was my, at least my... you can't say, I mean, he left everything in the last game against Nigeria.
No, he always leaves everything.
He leaves everything. Nobody's ever questioned that. At the same time, he was low. I mean, at the same time, he has the vision. He doesn't have the physical
can't
energy.
Get places
he just
anymore.
Can't. Yeah, yeah. Especially moving the ball around. I mean, it was too slow. It was too slow. And that's when Banega made a big difference for me when he played against Nigeria. He played a fantastic game. He put that ball to Messi over the top of the center back. And today I think he had a good game too. I missed Lo Celso in particular. I didn't understand Mesa coming in again. I mean, he's a fantastic player, but not at this level, at least from my point of view. And yes, I mean, I think it's a good opportunity for Argentina to look forward, to not try to, as we say, you know, block the sun with a finger. And start over.
Federico De Michelis joining me here does a podcast, Toto Dynamo, from Buenos Aires, Argentina. We're talking Argentina. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. Sampaoli, the coach, has a long-term contract. What's going to happen? Because he looked truly like a man not in charge, did not look like a leader. We know what he did with Chile. Mm-hmm. But he just looked, it just didn't fit. It just didn't seem, nothing seemed right.
No ideas.
Even the visible signs.
No ideas. Yeah, no clear identity, no personality. A team without personality. That yes, they have possession. Yes, they have quality. Yes, they have individuals. No clear idea of what to do with the ball, how to attack, how to come back, how to transition, how to, just lost.
And that's clearly why we would pick an Uruguay today, because they know exactly who they are. They're clearly defined. We know the way that they play. They've got world-class strikers who produce today. And that's why I think many people felt going into this day today, the best South American team Certainly was Uruguay who had the best chance to move forward. Yep. Let me take you to the first division in Argentina. Mm-hmm. I know there's lots of financial problems with these clubs. I know it's a good value to find Argentine players there. We see MLS teams doing that.
Yes.
Give me the pros and cons of what's going on in Argentina from a player development standpoint. Is it still the tops? Is it still one of the best?
I mean, Argentina, I think, inevitably, despite everything and anything, will continue to develop players because the sport is so rooted to our culture.
Just happens organically.
It happens. And anywhere where there's, you know, not even a field, I mean, you're talking about anywhere. Absolutely anywhere you can see people playing soccer, not even with a ball. You know, you're talking with a pair of socks that's been turned
into a ball.
Well,
that is player development. That's called desire.
Now, in terms of organization, you know, the league has changed a lot lately. Now we have a league called the Superliga. They're trying to match it with the European style of league. And there is lots of... I mean, the problem is always the same. The players have a fantastic season or two, and they're gone. They're gone forever. They're gone. Well, now we see it with Tata Martino bringing some talent from Argentina here to
Atlanta United. Yep.
Yeah. And, now Remedy is another fantastic player. That
speaking of Tata Martino, before you go on, would he have been a better manager for this Argentina?
Oh, no doubt. Though that's another thing that Argentines miss. Now that we have Sampaoli on the bench, I think not only Tata Martino but also Sabella, those two coaches were different. I mean, you're talking about people that know what they're doing, that they have a style of play, they know what kind of players they're looking for. I mean, it hurt me to see sometimes Argentina attacking with five players that played in the same position in their clubs. I mean, you're talking about maybe having I think we finished with Croatia. We had on the field, we had Mesa, we had Agüero, we had Higuain, we had Messi. It's too much. You know, it's too much, and nothing happening because there's no idea. There is no idea.
Too many similar type players, and this is the intricate balance that these teams have to have, and there's limited preparation. And I think when you're a country like Uruguay, who's very, very much defined, and have this set group of players. Yeah. You know, you're positioning yourself well coming into a World Cup. I thought we saw some very organized teams that obviously went out in group stages, but there were some impressive performances for teams like Morocco and Iran.
Iran against Spain.
When you look at it, we're more organized than Argentina was.
Absolutely.
Hands down.
Absolutely. It was a great World Cup for soccer, I think. I think it's teaching us a lot of lessons in terms of what a team should be looking forward to, what a team should be looking like instead of the individuals. You know, here we have Ronaldo and Messi out. This is it for them.
Yeah, this is incredible stuff. Listen, we're up on a hard break. Federico de Michelis, thank you very much for your insight on Argentina.
You.
It was very interesting to listen to you. He's got a podcast called Toto Dynamo. You're down at all the Dynamo games, right? Do you generally go to all of them? We'll see you down there.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for coming on, Federico.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, we're going to take a hard break here. Again, we remind you the second hour is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. Daspit Law Firm has you covered. They'll work for you 24/7, nights and weekend. Get the representation you need at the Daspit Law Firm and John Daspit. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. They are personal injury attorneys. They can handle any type of accident you get in, whether it's motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, or refinery. We thank them for being our second hour presenting sponsor. And then, of course, we also thank Bud Light. You know the World Cup is here. The games are being played during working hours. So there's only one thing that's going to help us survive this catastrophe of early morning games. Our friends. With them, it's easier to sneak away from your boss, make up excuses, extend your lunch break to 90-something minutes. So here's to the friend you can always count on, Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the 2018 World Cup Games and proud sponsor of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Let's take a Bud Light break. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up here. 55-55 Morningside Drive. It is the Gorgeous Gale. More to come. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
This is a Red
TractorsWarehouse.com Roadshow. Live from the gorgeous Gale in Rice Village, this is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Our final segment here, 55-55 Morningside Drive. This is in West University. And the gorgeous Gale, what a wonderful host. This is the first of seven shows we're going to do out here live. And guess what? Show number two is right around the corner tomorrow. We will do it after the Croatia-Denmark match. We'll be right on the air again in and around 3 o'clock, providing that doesn't go to extra time. And then in the morning, you can catch Russia-Spain here. So great place in the West University area to catch the World Cup. It is the Gorgeous Gale, thegorgeousgale.com. And our thanks to Peter and everybody out here, all the waitresses and everybody and waiters that have been taking care of us. Make sure you take care of them. Boy, what a day we have seen in the World Cup. A tale of two stories for two South American teams. One with the legendary Lionel Messi just inflamed and goes out in a fiery crash and fall to earth, 4-3 to France. And then another one that's a little bit more defined, a little bit more mature, a little bit more understanding of who they are and what they are. And Uruguay knocking out Portugal 2-1. Any thoughts? 713-780-3776. Would love to get a call or two in here. 713-780-3776 is the number. We'll be back here again tomorrow, as we mentioned, and very much looking forward to that tomorrow with Russia, the host nation. They will kick it off against Spain. Spain, again, one of the favorites. They have had their problems. And, of course, Russia coming into tomorrow will have the home support and the nationalistic pride going into that match against Spain. So we will see how it's all going to shake out tomorrow. Last night, the Houston Dynamo were in action in the Dynamo Charities Cup. Believe it or not, it was played down at BBVA Compass Stadium. They go down 2-1 to Monterrey. And a lot of the conversation we've had is it's such a shame that this game had to occur during the World Cup on a dark day. And that this game wasn't maybe 2 months down the road or scheduled at a different time where the full marketability of it could have been taken out. Because Houston, Texas is a huge haven for Rayados fans. There are people that every weekend, once the Liga MX season gets going, are driving over the border to go down there and support this team that plays in this massive, beautiful arena. So it was kind of a shame because, you know, we're all kind of out of sight, out of mind. With what's going on with the World Cup and continue to be enthralled by what has been an amazing World Cup that has yielded 2.5 goals per game in the group phases and today produces another 10. So pretty remarkable. Again, we're at the Gorgeous Gale, 55-55 Morningside. If anybody's out and about on the town, come on in. And then again tomorrow morning it'll start with Russia and Spain. France today getting goals from Griezmann, 13th minute. It was a penalty. Pavard in the 57th. Two from Mbappe, 64 and 68. So in the span of about 5 minutes, Mbappe gets two. 19 years of age, and he's introduced himself to his World Cup legacy. And you would imagine he's got a couple more in him. And France, 4-3 winners over Argentina, who at one point had a 2-1 lead. Getting goals from Di Maria and Mercado. Strange lineup today, as you heard. Sampaoli not playing with the center forward. No Higuain in the starting lineup. No Sergio Aguero. Absolutely bizarre. But from the standpoint of a pure entertainment value, this was a 7-goal thriller. So, soccer fan, mainstream sports fan. 713-780-3776. Are you disappointed that Messi and Ronaldo are out of the World Cup now in the round of 16? Some of the people in here at the Gorgeous Gale, I just heard that we are not. Are you disappointed that Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo are out of the World Cup? 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. Love to hear from you if it's going to be a World Cup that becomes less interesting. Could it become more interesting now that we're not going to get consistently, you know, the messaging of the superstars of Messi and Ronaldo in this? Neymar's still left with Brazil. Brazil will take on Mexico and Chicharito. That comes in 2 days. That's going to be a huge matchup. 713-780-3776 is the number. Any callers, Harrison? Okay, we're about to get somebody weighing in on that question. So again, the question is, are you disappointed now that Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo are out of the World Cup? Is it over for you? I'm sure we're going to lose some of the female audience. I don't think any question, but one has to wonder how people are feeling about this. Fernando Hierro and company tomorrow. Spain taking on Russia, and I believe it's Sean. Sean, what's on your mind? Do you have an answer to that question?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really too disappointed in Messi because he's never shown up, period. So that's not really a disappointment for me. The disappointment is the team that won the Euros and having Ronaldo, who does pretty well, not every year great, great, great in the World Cup, but at least shows up. So I'm more disappointed in that and the way the game went. I thought they had chances. I thought Argentina, the way they played against France, let them in it. I thought that they let France just take it over and, like, turn them into nothing. So I'm not really too disappointed about that. Ronaldo, for me, I like the way that he plays. He sits in the box when I think he sits in the box when they need to get a header. He pulls it from outside when they need to put it in. Where Messi is just that guy that disappears if he doesn't have the ball half the time, and they got lucky with a foot off.
Yeah, but Sean, is it just about Messi? Is it about what was around him and the turmoil of his team? I mean, as you heard Federico say here in the last segment, was it just too much for one man? You know, are we overhyped by the blue and white jersey of Argentina? Because of that jersey, do we just assume they're going to be this great team, despite the fact that they have a superstar?
Because
they're not a good team.
But they're always the same team they've always been. They're going to give up 3 to 4 goals, and you got to pray you score 5 goals. And then every now and then,
I'm not buying that. They've been a better defending team.
Come on, you got De Maria on the outside, who's a freaking, that dude's going to go down in history with Argentina. And Messi, who's Ronaldo playing with? Pepe?
Yeah, but I disagree. I think it was a very shaky back four. Your midfield is being run by a guy playing in China, Javier Mascherano. You can't find a suitable goalkeeper. So I don't know about the supporting casting. If anything, I think Portugal has a better supporting cast because their manager has a team playing together. This manager does not have an Argentina team playing together.
I agree.
So you have to factor that into it as well.
Well, I agree on that. I think that Portugal got out a little too early, especially after they won the Euros. I think the thing with Argentina is, I think you hit it on the head. We expect them to be this Brazil from South America that has this complete team. They have an all-star on the defense, all-star in the mid, 2 all-stars up top. But then you get into this and you just go, I mean, who do they really have outside of Messi, Di Maria? Their defense is, I could score. I'm a 5'4 little guy. I'm not as good as Messi, but dear God, like, I could score on that defense. So,
listen, I'm an agent. I'm going to get your contract. There are people looking for good strikers in Europe. You know, Sean.
I'm a good-looking guy.
Well, you could be the next. Who knows? You might be the next Ronaldo. We don't know. I guess the only thing I can say to in response to you is, remember the way Portugal won those Euros? They won one legitimate game. They legitimately had a scoreline once of winning. They drew all these games. They won the final in penalties. I was never impressed with that Portugal team, but what I will say is they were a team that was together in that tournament. If anything, you would say they were collective. Certainly a more collective group is Portugal, I think, now than than Argentina. Sean, listen, we got to go because that'll do it for today. We'll be back on tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Thank you very much for the phone call and responding to that.
Appreciate it. Have a great day. Bye.
All right, you too. So that was Sean Wayne in there leaning a little bit towards the Cristiano Ronaldo camp. So that's going to do it here from the Gorgeous Gaeler. Thanks to everybody out here today, everybody who hung around for post-game radio. Keep coming out here and watching the World Cup here. Again, it'll start with Spain and Russia in the morning, the afternoon game at 1 o'clock. It'll start with Croatia and Denmark. That the Danes do not give a lot of goals up. We'll be hoping for Christian Eriksen to weave a little bit of magic. And, of course, Luka Modric has been maybe the most outstanding, one of the most outstanding players in this 2018 FIFA World Cup. For all the guys on the ESPN promo team, for Harrison back in studio, all our guests here today, Olivier Finidori, Federico Di Michaelis, and also Naib Moran, thank you very much. That'll do it. Until tomorrow, I'm Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. I say goodnight for the firm.